Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook/The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter @The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hi, this is Tim Ferriss, author of The 4-Hour Workweek, 4-Hour Body, and The 4-Hour Chef, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, David here, and welcome to the show. Today is all about the impossible. You know, it's early in the year. What is possible? Nelson Mandela says it always seems impossible until it's done. And we're going to explore that today with the amazing David Blaine. And when I heard this, it was actually pretty freaky. And you may be a little freaked out as well when you hear what he has to say. But imagine doing something that sounds so impossible. And before you overthink this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in a bathtub, fill it up, or a swimming pool, or a hot tub. And I just want you to hold your breath for 17 minutes. That's exactly what this guy did. We'll talk about it in a second. Here we go. Right. It seems impossible until it is done. The wonderful Nelson Mandela. There's a French proverb that says to believe a thing is impossible is to make it so. But you know what? Here we're going to do. We're going to look at this guy. This guy's a magician and he's a simple guy. You know, what I like about him. I like the simplicity. He did a TED talk and he explained exactly how he was able to hold his breath for 17 minutes. What I love about this is how he explores it. Excuse me, that was me. How he explored it in the beginning, and how he looked at sort of cheating, not really cheating, but tricking, because he's a magician, right? Creating a trick, creating, an illusion of someone holding their breath, right? I mean, how would you, you got to look that way, right? But look what happened. Let's explore this together. We'll listen to him. And again, I really love the simplicity of this conversation. But what I really love about him is the fact that he took the impossible feat of holding his breath for 17 minutes and made it so. Here we go.
As a magician, I try to create images that make people stop and think. I also try to challenge myself to do things that doctors say are not possible. I was buried alive in New York City in a coffin, in April 1999 for a week. I lived there with nothing but water. And it ended up being so much fun that I decided I could pursue doing more of these things.
I like that. You know, you're in a coffin buried in New York and it ended up becoming so much fun that I'd like to do more of that. But what I like about that, imagine being in a coffin for 7 days straight, all right, with just water. Imagine, and that's what the read I get from this guy is that this control over the mind, imagine how the mind wants to freak out with just normal things. I mean, driving your car and someone cutting you up. I mean, almost falling off a ladder. I love it when people say that I almost died. Oh my God, I almost died, right? I mean, that almost thing doesn't occur when you're in a coffin underground for 7 days straight. But just have a little more of a listen. Let's see what's going on.
The next one is I froze myself in a block of ice for 3 days and three nights in New York City. That one was way more difficult than I had expected. The one after that, I stood on top of a 100-foot pillar for 36 hours. I began to hallucinate so hard that the buildings that were behind me started to look like big animal heads.
I got to tell you, though, this pillar is just like, imagine this guy, was he 6'2", 6'1"? I'm probably 6'1", right? Here he is standing on a pillar, and it's not much bigger than his feet, 100 feet up, and he's standing there for 36 hours straight. Imagine where you have to go to inside yourself. I mean, just forget the fact we heard he was, you know, in a block of ice for 3 days. You know, but this ability for the mind, the body, the spirit to be able to find a place that's so deep, that is so powerful. And most of us, you know, they say we only access just a tiny fraction of what's possible for us to access. And so, you know, I mean, he is, it's amazing. I mean, just think about that, standing in one spot for 36 hours, but then at 100 feet. And if you were to fall either way, you'd be like, yeah, boom. Huh?
So next I went to London. In London, I lived in a glass box for 44 days with nothing but water. It was, for me, one of the most difficult things I'd ever done, but it was also the most beautiful. There were so many skeptics.
You heard that right. Almost, also the most beautiful. This is what I find fascinating about his journey, right, is the idea that you imagine being in a glass box in public view for 44 days straight with only water, right? And finding it beautiful. And I think that there is something, there's a place that we're afraid to go. There's a place, you know, it's funny because my keynote, I'm doing a keynote actually in 2 days from now. And actually it's 3 days from now. But, you know, I'm sort of sharing a little bit of, you know, our hike up Kilimanjaro, you know, 19,370 feet. And, yeah, when I listened to this guy, you know, I didn't find it particularly challenging, to be quite frank. And I thought, you know, I've had a lot of things happen in my life, and there was a lot of challenges. I just didn't find it didn't stretch me. But when I hear a guy putting himself in a box for 44 days straight with water, I'm thinking, listen, there's something that I have never even conceived about the infinite power or the infinite possibility that I have within me that I've never explored. You know, and you see guys like Tim Ferriss that is constantly pushing the envelope and constantly saying, hey, you know what? I know my body can do more, so I'm going to do more. And most of us, you know, we live in that sort of that little comfort zone of never pushing any boundary, never sort of saying, well, you know, this is my status quo. I'm going left, I'm going right, I'm going bigger, I'm going longer, I'm going whatever it is, right? And I'm looking at that picture right now, this guy hanging right by Tower Bridge in London, you know, in a pair of black pants, you know, in a glass box, hanging from a crane, 44 days, no water. Crazy.
Especially the press in London that they started flying cheeseburgers on helicopters around my box to tempt me. So I felt very validated when the New England Journal of Medicine actually used the research for science.
This is something I find fascinating as well about David, is the idea that everything he does, he wants this science, this idea. And he reminds me of Tim. Again, if you haven't listened to the Tim Ferriss Show, he was on the Kick-Ass Life. You can go back through the archives on iTunes or go to the kickasslife.com and you can find him on there as one of our earlier shows. But, you know, this idea that, you know, the New England Journal of Medicine, this idea that of studying this guy, because here he is a magician just saying, what is possible? Asking the question, well, so what is possible? And as you start this new year of 2014, the question would be, what is possible for you? And here's a guy that does something for entertainment that he says, you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but also the most beautiful. And he's just scratching the surface of his journey to discover the limits of what's possible for him. It's crazy. And you know what I should do right now? That felt like such a perfect setup for a song. I should have just had one ready, but I didn't. So here we go.
It's impossible. It's impossible to love you. If you don't, let me know what you're feeling. Hey. Oh, it's impossible.
Christine Aguilera. Great voice, eh? Wow, I could listen. I shouldn't listen this long, but I'm going to. You know, there's a great quote that says, never tell a young person that anything cannot be done. God may have been waiting centuries for someone ignorant enough of the impossible to do that very thing. I love that. Ignorant of the impossible. Isn't that such a beautiful way to think? And I think that's where we're at. I mean, I think most of us are just simply ignorant of what's impossible. And as we sort of start 2014, you know, we have that great opportunity to start saying, well, what is? What's possible? What's possible for me? What's possible for you? What's possible for each other? You know, what is the infinite power that we have within us, which I think most of, I mean, like, you know, it's crazy because we live in a world of mediocrity. It's a world of, yeah, you know, just enough. It's a world of you know, I mean, if you work for someone, which God forbid you do, you know, and if you do, by the way, and you love it, thumbs up. But most 74% people don't. But if you're, you know, in a world where you have to go to a job each day and just sort of tick along, you know, what's this whole other world of creativity, of purpose, of contribution? And all of these things live on the sort of the periphery of our comfort zone. And sort of, so here we are. I mean, imagine 2014 is going to be this idea that we can bust through that comfort zone. So let's go back to David as he explains how he held his breath for 17 whole minutes.
How long I could go without breathing, like how long I could survive with nothing, not even air. I didn't realize that it would become the most amazing journey of my life.
You love this guy? You know, he does these things. I didn't realize that holding my breath for 17 minutes would become the most amazing journey of my life. Why? Because when you attempt the impossible, it has to be an amazing journey, right?
As a young magician, I was obsessed with Houdini and his underwater challenges. So I began early on competing against the other kids, seeing how long I could stay underwater while they went up and down to breathe, you know, five times while I stayed under on one breath. By the time I was a teenager, I was able to hold my breath for 3 minutes and 30 seconds. I would later find out that was Houdini's personal record.
Can you imagine, for fun, I used to have my friend and I, Beth, and she listens to the show sometimes. So, Beth, you're listening to this. We used to have these underwater competitions in my swimming pool. And I think 4.5 lengths was my record. I think hers was 3. And but that idea that we could have kept playing that game, I don't know how far. Could I have gone 10? I have no idea. I know that movement is not a great thing when you're trying to hold your breath. But this sense of the frontier of, you know, and that's why doing lengths was so much fun, right? Because you do one, and I, you know, halfway along, I'd burst through the surface, and then you'd make one, and then 1.5 seemed possible, and then 2, and then 2.5, and then 3. And I remember turning on the fourth turn, you know, so I've done 4 whole lengths, and turning on the fourth turn, and just pushing with my legs, and sort of gliding through the water. And I had no idea where I was going to go. I just knew that I was out of air. But I never ever thought about pushing further than those 4 minutes or 4 lengths. I'm sorry. This guy's talking about 3:30 being Houdini's record as a young teenager. Crazy.
In 1987, I heard of a story about a boy that fell through ice and was trapped under a river. He was underneath, not breathing for 45 minutes. When the rescue workers came, they resuscitated him and there was no brain damage. His core temperature had dropped to 77 degrees. As a magician, I think everything is possible.
Do you love that? As a magician, I think everything is possible. Imagine that. As a magician, I think. Imagine you said that tomorrow. You know, as a housewife, I think everything is possible. As a bricklayer, I think everything is possible. As a, you know, as an army guy, I think everything is possible. You know, as a, you know, whatever you do, imagine you fill in the blank. As a what? Student, I think everything is possible. As a maverick, I think everything is possible. As a criminal, I think, you know, whatever it is. I mean, whatever your thing is, imagine you add that I believe that everything is possible. Wow.
All I know now, shout it from the rooftops, write it on the skyline. All we had is gone now. Tell them I was happy and my heart is broken. All my scars are open. Tell them what I hoped would be impossible.
Yeah, impossible. That's James Arthur. You know, it's great. It's just great thinking this thought. Even for me right now, Christopher Reeve says, there's so many of our dreams that first seem impossible, then they seem improbable, and then when we summon the will, they soon become inevitable. Wow. That's Christopher Reeves. What an inspiration he was after he broke his back. I mean, amazing. Was it his neck? But I mean, just an amazing, amazing guy. He was Superman, but he became Superman in my dreams or my heart after his accident. And wow, what an inspiration. And just a great quote. So yeah, let's go back to Dave.
Oh. Done by one person, it can be done by others. I started to think if the boy could survive without breathing for that long, there must be a way that I could do it. So I met with a top neurosurgeon and I asked him, how long is it possible to go without breathing? Like, how long could I go without air? And he said to me that anything over 6 minutes, you have a serious risk of hypoxic brain damage. So I took that as a challenge, basically. My first try, I figured that I could do something similar. And I created a water tank and I filled it with ice and freezing cold water. And I stayed inside of that water tank hoping my core temperature would start to drop. And I was shivering. And my first attempt to hold my breath, I couldn't even last a minute. So I realized that was completely not gonna work.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine fill your bathtub full of ice and just try and sit in it, right? I love this. I love the idea of his mindset, right? The mindset is if somebody else has done it, this kid's been underwater for 45 minutes, it must be possible. So I'm going to freeze myself to death and sit in his bathtub, hold my breath and see what happens, right? Here we go.
So I went to talk to a doctor friend and I asked him, how could I do that? I want to hold my breath for a really long time. How could it be done? And he said, David, you're a magician. Create the illusion of not breathing. It'll be much easier. So he came up with this idea of creating a rebreather with a CO2 scrubber, which was basically a tube from Home Depot with a balloons duct tape to it that he thought we could put inside of me and somehow I'd be able to circulate the air and rebreathe with this thing in me. This is a little hard to watch, but this is that attempt.
It is hard to watch. So he's on a table with his mouth open and they're shoveling this huge tube down his throat. All right. Because again, he's trying. Okay, well, maybe I can do it as an illusion. And, but it's really hard to watch. I will put the link, by the way, on the kickasslife.com. I'll put the YouTube link on there for you.
So that clearly wasn't going to work. Then I actually started thinking about liquid breathing. There's a chemical that's called perfluoron, and it's so high in oxygen levels that in theory you could breathe it. So I got my hands on that chemical, filled the sink up with it, and stuck my face in the sink and tried to breathe that in, which is really impossible. It's basically like trying to breathe, as a doctor said, while having an elephant standing on your chest. So that idea disappeared. Then I started thinking, would it be possible to hook up a heart-lung bypass machine and have a surgery where it was a tube going into my artery and then appear to not breathe while they were oxygenating my blood? Which was—
do you ever get the feeling that he should get out more? But again, you know, what I love is where this is going. It's not a question of the fact that he's trying everything. I mean, that's the exploration of a magician, right? Well, how do I push the boundary? What I love a lot is the fact that he's so willing to explore these outer limits of what's really, you know, what really is possible. So let's carry on.
It was another insane idea, obviously. Then I thought about the craziest idea of all the ideas: to actually do it. To actually try to hold my breath past the point that doctors would consider you brain dead.
Imagine that. Imagine that you just said that after all of his exploration into all these different ideas, you know, then it's like, well, what would happen if I just did it? What would happen if I went for it? I didn't try and trick anybody. I just decided, you know what? This is it. I'm just going to do it. And guess what? He did. And I know I spoiled the plot, but I mean, I don't want to listen to the whole thing with you, but let's listen to a little bit of it. How's that?
So I started researching into pearl divers, you know, because they go down for 4 minutes on one breath. And when I was researching pearl divers, I found the world of free diving. It was the most amazing thing that I ever discovered, pretty much. There's many different aspects to free diving. There's depth records, where people go as deep as they can, and then there's static apnea. That's holding your breath as long as you can in one place without moving. That was the one that I studied. The first thing that I learned is when you're holding your breath, you should never move at all. That wastes energy, and that depletes oxygen, and it builds up CO2 in your blood. So I learned never to move, and I learned how to slow my heart rate down. I had to remain perfectly still and just relax and think that I wasn't in my body and just control that. And then I learned how to purge. Purging is basically hyperventilating. You blow in and out. You do that, you get lightheaded, you get tingling, and you're really ridding your body of CO2. So when you hold your breath, it's infinitely easier.
Infinitely easier, not just easier, infinitely easier. Now, I don't want to listen to this whole thing. Oh, I'd love to listen to the whole thing, but I want to sort of you to go and listen to it. It's a great TED talk. And I mean, this guy had to go through a body resculpturing. He failed on live TV because they thought that, you know, the TV would be so boring if he just sort of held his breath. So they handcuffed him. He blacks out. So he doesn't give up, though. That's what I love about this idea. This idea, he doesn't give up. So he calls Oprah and he tells Oprah, look, we're going to do it on your show. And I'll just play the tail end of this for you so you can go sort of catch the end in case you don't get a chance to go and listen to it yourself. Here we go. Actually, you know what we should do before that? You know what we really should do? We really should play a song. You think I'd be ready for these things, right? And, you know, but I'm not. And that's the problem right now because I've got so many things open on my computer. And this is Kelly Clarkson. How's that?
Coming my new home, but I don't stop, I just keep moving on and on. Ain't no need to dry my eyes, I
cry. I try and cry every day, unlike Kelly. So, you know, I want to sort of go back and just sort of give you a little look at the end of this. And then again, I do urge you to just go to thekickasslife.com and have a little listen into the world, the crazy world of David Blaine. You know, Lewis Carroll said, he said, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Salvador Dali said, it's either easy or it's impossible. That's an interesting concept, right? I mean, Salvador, I actually collect some of his art, and a little crazy, but I like crazy. Crazy's good. Here we go. Let's have a listen.
You know, basically the height of a 16-story building. And as I was coming up, I blacked out underwater, which is really dangerous. That's how you drown. Luckily, Kirk had seen me, and he swam over and pulled me up. So I started full focus. I completely trained to get my breath hold time up for what I needed to do. But there was no way to prepare for the live television aspect of it being on Oprah. But in practice, I would do it face down, floating on the pool. But for TV, they wanted me to be upright so they could see my face, basically. The other problem was the suit was so buoyant that they had to strap my feet in to keep me from floating up. So I had to use my legs to hold my feet into the straps that were loose, which was a real problem for me. That made me extremely nervous, raising the heart rate. Then what they also did was, which we never did before, is there was a heart rate monitor. And it was right next to the sphere. So every time my heart would beat, I'd hear the beep, 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 you know, the ticking really loud, which is making me more nervous. And there's no way to slow my heart rate down. So normally, I would start at 38 beats per minute, and while holding my breath, it would drop to 12 beats per minute, which is pretty unusual.
You're not kidding. Pretty unusual. So here he is on Oprah in a sphere, in this kind of like suit, this body suit, but he's, you know, nothing on his face, nothing on his head, right? And he's got his feet strapped in because the suit is pretty buoyant. And he's nervous. He's nervous. He's on TV. He's got this heart rate monitor, weak beep, 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 which is freaking him out. What I love is that as he explains this last part is the idea that he's going through this mental challenge. Cause isn't everything in the end mental? Everything we believe is possible. You know, I mean, Henry Ford, either you believe you can or you believe you can't. If you believe you can or if you believe you can't, you're right. So, you know, here's this guy who's having to sort of really fight the demons in his mind. He's on live TV. There's millions of people watching. You know, he can't get his heartbeat down and he's got this new noise. He's freaking out. He's not being able to lay in the same position. So all this nonsense in his head and he has to find a way to fight through it.
This time it started at 120 beats and it never went down. I spent the first 5 minutes underwater desperately trying to slow my heart rate down. I was just sitting there thinking, I've got to slow this down. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. And I was getting more nervous and the heart rate just kept going up and up all the way up to 150 beats. Basically, it's the same thing that created my downfall at Lincoln Center. It was a waste of O2. When I made it to the halfway mark at 8 minutes, I was 100% certain that I was not going to be able to make this. There was no way for me to do it. So I figured Oprah had dedicated an hour to doing this breath hold thing. If I had cracked early, it would be a whole show about how depressed I am. So... So I figured I'm better off just fighting and staying there until I black out, at least, and they can pull me out and take care of me and all that.
I love that. You know, he's already had this big failure. He's like, well, you know what? Guess what? I'm just going to hang in there. I'm going to hang in there. I've got past 5.5 minutes. Why quit now? Yeah, I'm on TV, right? And Napoleon Bonaparte said, the word impossible is not in my dictionary, right? You know, I love some of these saying, everything is theoretically impossible until it's done. That's Robert Heinlein. And this is François Duc de la Rue Foucault. I'm sure I messed that up. We have more power than will, and it's often by way of excuse to ourselves that we fancy things are impossible. Isn't that true? With that being said, but I'm going to sort of round this one out, let you listen to the end of this. As I do, though, I want you to sort of really start thinking about this new year. You know, what is it? What is it about this new year that you're going to make different? What would be different if you allowed it to be so? What would be different if you achieved something that you had never, ever thought was possible maybe before the show? Because I'm telling you, every single thing I've gone for that I thought was impossible, it just becomes possible because I won't quit, right? And as long as I'm learning, what happens is I try something, it doesn't work. I make an adjustment and try it again. Doesn't work, I make an adjustment, I try it again. I learn from it, I make an adjustment, try again. Learn from it, make an adjustment. As long as I don't quit, guess what? I'm going to get there by hook or by crook. Last song, here we go. It ain't impossible. We know that. Nothing is. And every time we break a record, it seems like there's somebody else going to come along and break it. So I'm not sure. You know, imagine some of these records now at the Olympics. I mean, some Olympics, you'll have like 15 or 20 records broken each year. And I understand, you know, nutrition and body parts and, you know, drugs. But the body parts, the nutrition, the training, I get all that. Still seems crazy that we're going to be breaking records for the next 100 years, doesn't it? Oh.
Pushing to 10 minutes. At 10 minutes, you start getting all these really strong tingling sensations in your fingers and toes. And I knew that that was blood shunting, when the blood rushes away from your extremities to provide oxygen to your vital organs. At 11 minutes, I started feeling throbbing sensations in my legs, and my lips started to feel really strange. At minute 12, I started to have ringing in my ears, and I started to feel my arm going numb. And I'm a hypochondriac, and I remember arm numb means heart attack, so I started to really get really paranoid. Then at 13 minutes, maybe because of the hypochondria, I started feeling pains all over my chest. It was awful. At 14 minutes, I had these awful contractions, like this urge to breathe.
Yeah, at 14 minutes, I'm thinking, geez, I should breathe. What do you think? What do you think? 14, by the way. I mean, remember, the world record at the time was had just been broken at 16 minutes and 30 seconds. And this is a magician now. This isn't a guy that dedicated his life to breaking this record, which his predecessor had sort of, you know, this was part of everything he did. This is a guy who says, hey, listen, let me just see if I can beat this thing.
At 15 minutes, I was suffering major O2 deprivation to the heart, and I started having ischemia to the heart. My heartbeat would go from 120 to 50 to 150 to 40 to 20 to 150 again. It would skip a beat, it would start, it would stop, and I felt all this. And I was sure that I was going to have a heart attack. So at 16 minutes, what I did is I slid my feet out, because I knew that if I did go out, if I did have a heart attack, they'd have to jump into the body and take my feet out before pulling me up. So I was really nervous. So I let my feet out and I started floating to the top, and I didn't take my head out, but I was just floating there waiting for my heart to stop.
There's a picture of this on the TED Talk, where he's pulled his feet out and there's two assistants waiting for him at the top, you know, but he's not breathing. He's at 16:07, 16 minutes and 7 seconds, and he's or aware enough to think, you know, I'm going to pass out any second here, and I want to be able to be pulled from this thing and my life be saved at this point, right? So here's the last part.
up, just waiting. They had doctors with the, you know, so sitting there waiting. And then suddenly I hear screaming, and I think that there's some weird thing that I had died or something had happened. And then I realized that I had made it to 1632. So with the energy of everybody that was there, I decided to keep pushing, and I went to 17 minutes and 4 seconds.
What's possible? You tell me. It's your new year. But I know this, what you think is possible and what you think is impossible is probably only a fraction of what's true. So that being said, I'll definitely see you on the other side. And don't forget, by the way, come see us on Facebook, David on Facebook.com, and share this with some friends. I know I've taken a couple, a week and a half off. So, you know, we're back. Share it with some friends. It's great to be back. And we've got some great, great plans for you this year. So again, see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.